A reading from the Gospel according to John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. Nicodemus turns up twice in the Gospel of John. We heard his name just a few days ago on Good Friday in the account of the Passion, because he's the man who brought 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes to honor the body of Jesus, which Pilate had entrusted to Joseph of Arimathea. And what's intriguing is that these two men, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, are both represented as rather timorous. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, we hear. That means under cover of darkness, in secret, because he didn't want the other Pharisees to know. And Joseph, we're told by John, was a disciple of Jesus, but in secret, out of fear. Well, I think I'm probably not alone in having a certain fellow feeling, at least a certain sympathy with these two, because there are times when it's downright embarrassing to be openly associated with Jesus. We're in the Catholic Church, we're on a high at the moment with the canonization yesterday of those two immensely popular figures, Pope John the 23rd and Pope John Paul II. But in general, the climate of thought these days is normally rationalistic and materialistic. And we worry at least as much about the cost of living in purely financial terms as we do about the cost of living according to what Jesus taught us, different sort of cost. So although we don't actually sneak into church at night for fear of being seen, we do, I think, often tend to keep a low profile as far as our faith is concerned. But these two men, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, came through when it came to the crunch. They saw to it that the body of Jesus was treated with proper respect, was honored with a decent resting place, and with the aroma of myrrh and aloes in truly enormous quantities, 100 pounds. That's an awful lot. And this was at a time when 10 of the 12 closest followers of Jesus, the disciples, were cravenly staying away, having deserted him at the time of his trial and crucifixion. Well, there's no need to underline the message there. The other thing that struck me about Nicodemus is his literal mindedness. To him, being born simply means physically emerging from your mother's womb. And he can't cope with Jesus' metaphor of being born from above, or as some translations put it, being born anew, being born again. Born of the spirit that blows where it chooses, is a concept that's just beyond him. And yet, it's to Nicodemus that Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And that, which is the very essence of our faith, that is surely what gave Nicodemus the courage to come out as a disciple when he brought those 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes to honour the body of the Master. John doesn't tell us how Nicodemus reacted to the resurrection, but he doesn't really need to. This nervous, unimaginative man had been freed into the gorgeous certainty of the truth.